Joy to the world. Hey, that's why we're here this morning. How many of you are joyful in Christ Jesus this morning, the Savior of the world? I trust today if you have Christ as your Savior in your life, that you have real joy and that smile on your face is genuine today. We're thankful that God loved us enough that He was willing to forgive us in His precious Son, Jesus Christ, who He sent to be the offering for the penalty of our sins. Well, in His name, I greet you this morning. It's a wonderful day. Let's stand this morning. We're going to do a little bit of singing. It's up on the screen this morning, number 104, if you do have a hymnal, and that's the very song we're going to sing, is Joy to the World. Oh, excuse me, 105. Oh, come on, you faithful. Yes. Sorry. And then we'll remain standing for our invocation. So again, we're gathered this morning as the church, the faithful, to celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we go. Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. Just a minute when we sing those parts. Remember, your different parts are written in there. If you remember, I know you don't have the music in front of you, but the bass parts, the lower parts come in on the end of that. Let's praise God in our singing this morning. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye together. Our Father in heaven, we come humbly before you this morning, gathered as the local church, your people. And Lord, we thank you for the faith that you have given us to have in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice and the love gift of God the Father for the sins of the world. Lord, truly, may we adore him this morning as we consider his birth, his advent of coming to earth as the babe in the manger the first time. But we also know, Lord, through your prophecy and through your will that has been foreordained, he came for the sins of the whole world, and he is coming again. And so today, Lord, let us adore him as we gather around his throne. Now we thank you today, Lord, for this wonderful day and for all that came out this morning, for your leadership in their lives as they came to worship you and to sing praises to your name, and Lord, for us to intermingle as believers and help one another and bear one another's burdens and to love one another. We pray today, Lord, that the message will speak to our hearts, that we will not leave here unchanged. I pray too today, Lord, for your Spirit to be active, that he would be working mightily in the hearts of people, and Lord, that you would just fill us today with your Spirit as we consider the mission field that is among us today. Lord, we pray for our community here, Fruitland, or wherever we all reside, our neighborhoods. And Lord, we also realize today that there are very likely some people that are hurting for various reasons. Lord, maybe grief, maybe at this time of the year, some memories. But also, Lord, it could be from the effects of sin and disgruntlement, discouragement, many things, Lord, others that are ill. We thank you, Lord, today for those that you've preserved throughout this week and that you have, again, helped in their time of need. Lord, now, as we proceed in this time of glorifying you, may you be foremost in our thoughts. And we thank you for your presence here today, Lord Jesus. And I pray these things now in that most wonderful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, just a few things in our announcements. And also, we would need to do a little bit of straw poll voting today. I know the straw poll was a long time ago for our national elections. But we need to make some decisions. And we'll do that here after we pray. And I give you the rest of these announcements. Again, our offerings, if God has led you to give today, there's a container in the back that you're welcome to use. We do not pass the plate during these times. But we're just thankful for everyone that's here today and pray again that God will bless you in our time together. This morning on the right-hand side of your bulletin, and this is one of the decisions that we have to make, the governor's orders were only modified slightly last week. Our leadership met this week. We stayed in the same mode today. But I believe I've heard in the meantime that unless something changes, Governor Reynolds is going to loosen those restrictions further this week. And so I believe that it would not be out of order unless something more drastic comes about that we would entertain the idea of having a Sunday evening service next week and going back to our normal pattern. But here's the thing, that, and the leadership will have to trust them for that as to what takes place, but that is our hope. By the way, we hope to have communion next Sunday evening. There's a message already prepared on that that goes along with the birth of Christ when he became flesh and dwelt among us. With that said, though, would there be a desire, and this is what we'll ask here in a few moments after we pray and meditate a little bit here after these announcements and the offering, to have a Christmas Eve service? And we'll determine that by the show of hands unless there's further restriction that comes about due to the virus. That would be in place that week, a week from this week, of our normal midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. So you can be thinking about that, and we'll see where we stand on that. Realize that oftentimes we have pretty good attendances for those. We are somewhat short on space, but I wonder this year if the attendance may not be as large as sometimes, but we'll see. We certainly want everyone to come that is able to do that. Well, with the rest of the announcements here, Women's Bible Study, December 19th. Check with Beth Martin if there's any changes or desires to know more about that. And then I think that's pretty much it. You can look at the other things that are on the right side of that. So with that, we're going to go to prayer. And again, just take this time to pray about worship. And our hearts would be motivated toward the Lord Jesus this morning. And we're going to ask that God would bless both the gift and the giver. And then we'll have our vote. Father, thank you again this day that your grace still prevails. No question about it, Lord. The conditions of our world throughout all time. And we know, Lord, you had to act. And you have acted about sin. The great flood, and in a sense, the resetting through eight souls that were preserved after that flood of the world, show how much you hate sin and what a sad and dangerous situation that is. But yet, Lord, you see fit to work with man, and your grace prevails yet this day. So my prayer goes up today, Lord, not only for myself and for those of us that are here that are under the word and are at least able to comprehend it and see it today, but my prayer goes to those, Lord, for various reasons that are not and that have, again, maybe turned from you. We pray, O Lord, today that they would acknowledge your grace before indeed that time runs out. Now, Lord, today as we have given or are contemplating giving back to you a portion of what you've given to us,
we recognize, Lord, if we're able to think about this at all, that everything comes from your hand. It's all traced back to you and to your goodness that yet prevails with mankind. Lord, I pray today you'd bless the gift and the giver, and that you'd turn our hearts now, Lord, toward you. And we're going to consider some of the things that happen today when people are hurt at this time of the year, and all times of the year for that matter, how we would bear fruit, Lord, for you. So I ask again that you'd bless our time, bless the gift and giver once again, I pray, and also the decision on this meetings and things that are coming up, Lord, with the situation we find ourselves in, that your will might be done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hopefully you have been considering the account of Christ's birth and the things that led up to that. We'll be hearing more about that in the days to come. And hopefully you're involved in a personal study at all times regarding all things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome once again to everyone. This time, a show of hands in favor of us having a Christmas Eve service as we normally do. Okay, I'm not going to count. Someone else may need to. Are there those that are opposed? Okay, I don't think I saw a hand. So, Lord willing, we'll have that. And that'll be on the Thursday. Okay? And so we'll consider that. And hopefully next week we'll be back in our normal mode if nothing changes. And we'll have an evening service and Sunday school. And we'll keep you posted, though, if something would go different than that. Hang on a minute, Al. Deacons and trustees, is that the spirit of what we talked about in our meeting? I believe it was. Okay, very good. Al, you had a question or comment. No, that will be at 4:30. Yep, and it will be done. So anyway, welcome to one and all. All right, now we have some special music. I believe that's the next thing on our agenda here today. Do we not?
Always a concern often
when people come up from behind. Yeah, no, it's okay.
Born, oh night,
floor of a hay-scattered stall. True Son of God, yet bearing human feature, he entered earth to reverse Adam's fall. In towering grace, he laid aside his glory, and in our place was sacrificed for sin. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the gospel story. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Shepherds proclaim him as Lord. Let not the promised Son remain a stranger. In reverent worship, may Christ your adored. Eternal life is theirs who would receive him with grace and peace. Their lives he will adorn. Fall on your knees. Receive the gift of heaven. Was born. Oh, night, oh, holy night, when Christ was born. Fall on your knees, receive of heaven. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night. Oh, holy night. Christ was born.
Amen. Thank you, Autumn. You know, always remember, and the title of our message today is Heard at Christmas, but always remember that Jesus Christ, We sometimes forget that he came into this world in very rough conditions, and he lived in this world in very rough conditions. He was hurt for us, folks. Yet the Bible says that he came and did that. He went to the cross with joy. But never forget, my friends, he lived a harsh life here in this world in his humanity. Bible says, you know, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace
what he did for our peace was laid upon him. And Autumn, that song is very true. We ought to be on our knees, recognizing the Son of God who came to rescue us. Anyway, that's a great message. And we want to be really careful that we don't sanitize Christmas too much. And that we be careful about it because, the one that oftentimes gets hurt the most at Christmas, or what we, celebrate as Christmas, is Jesus. And so today in this message, we're going to look around that as well. And again, I greet you in the great name of Jesus. I hope your heart is light today and that it is happy and that it is resting in the assurance of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind today, I offer this as well to anyone that might be here, and we're thankful for everyone that's come through those doors. But I let you be aware of this as well, that Christ offers his peace to you today if you're not at peace with him through his work on Calvary's cross when he was, again, hurt for our good and for our peace, the Son of God, God in the flesh. Anyway, that's the title of our message today, Hurt at Christmas. This is a message I preach it every other year or so, not the same message. I have never repeated a message, even though legitimately, could I do that? Well, probably. I didn't hear that last comment. Okay. Well, but I won't do that even if you've given me permission, because I'm supposed to work in the Word. Amen? And that means I don't pull copies out of the file, but I let the Spirit speak to my heart every time I preach a message. So pray for me during the week. You might catch me here sitting sometimes in the office. But that doesn't mean I'm not working. Okay, because... Well, not always, Jane. I do take a nap once in a while. Anyway, let's go to prayer and we'll delve into this message. Because I'll tell you what, folks, this season of the year is a rough one for a lot of reasons. And we'll look at all that here this morning. Father, I'm just going to ask today that you bless the speaking. Lord, we're going to look into your word, but this whole message is surrounded by your word and how we operate. Number one, Lord, may we not hurt you during this season. May we be bold and proclaim the truths about you. Lord, even about some of the things regarding this season. And I know, Lord, there are many inaccuracies that are taught. And I've taught the truths here at Fruitland. And I'm going to use this season as a platform to expound about you. But Lord, help us not to hurt you, not to devalue you with this season that is upon us. From the sense and the perspective of all the things that go on that would be totally against what you would have taught us. So Father, help us today as we examine some of these things. I think we can even laugh a little bit this morning. I'm sure, Lord, that you laugh at us many times, but I also know there's a tear in your eye too. And I pray today, Lord, that we would not further hurt you, but that we would adore you and lift you high. Now the old preacher is up here to preach, and you know what that is, Lord. That's trouble and weakness. But I pray once again, Lord, you'd sustain me through the power of the Spirit, that this message again might have relevance that goes first of all to you, but then to those around us and to ourselves last, Lord, how we operate. And I'll just ask in advance for the blessing that you'll move in the hearts of the people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends in Christ, at least every other year, combined with the biblical account of Christ's conception and birth and prophecy of his first advent, I have been led to bring messages that speak to realities of life surrounding the celebration of Christ's birth in what we have labeled Christmas. Now, you know that this season and what has become of this monumental event is skewed from biblical fact. And I'm not going to go into that this morning. I have before. You can study those things and what Christ would have endorsed. And if you want to ask me more about that later, we can talk. And I have talked to many of you about those things over the years. If you wonder what I'm talking about, and that has to do with the paganism, the dates, and the commercialism that surround the season. I've said enough about that, but you can talk to me. But nevertheless, I will use this season as a platform for expanding and introducing the person of Jesus Christ. I hope you do too. This is a good season to introduce Jesus Christ. All seasons are good, but this gives you a little more leeway than normal. Amen? It's a platform for expounding and introducing the person of Jesus Christ, the babe in the manger of Bethlehem, the unique Son of God, the God-man, Jehovah saves. That's what Jesus' name means. God saves to a needy world. I want to, and I hope you as well, want to produce fruit for Jesus during this season of joy to the world. I don't know if you've thought about that at all lately, but this is a season of fruit production. You know, it used to be in the old days before people were so affluent as we are today that many people thought that it was a wonderful thing to celebrate the birth of Christ and receive a piece of fruit. You saw a few weeks ago, an apple doesn't mean much to us today. You know what? Jesus doesn't mean much to a lot of people today either. But he still does to me, and I hope he does to you. And I think that today we ought to think about fruit production. John chapter 15, I'm going to give you a few verses out of that. But are you producing fruit this Christmas season with the opportunities that you have? We ought to be producing it at all times. The Bible never says to stay stagnant in our fruit production or even to allow it to decrease. But it says what? Jesus said there in John 15 that we would produce much fruit abundantly. And let me tell you something, folks. The platform that this season gives you can cause you to produce fruit for Jesus Christ to a needy world. Jesus said in John chapter 15, you can look in your Bibles. Let's go to John 15, verse 18, briefly here this morning. And by the way, before someone says, he didn't preach much from the Bible this morning. Well, you know me well enough through all these years. What is the foundation of the preaching here at Fruitland Baptist Church? It is the Word of God, and what is said today still has a foundation in the Word of God. Okay? And you'll hear a lot more scriptural references in some of the other messages, but today the scriptural references are there to back them up if you're ready to look at it. But John 15 is the basis here, production of fruit. John 15, 8 says this, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. There it is. And that's the basis. And the basis for that is loving one another. You'll find that in that text as well, which should be our main goal always, but may need extra attention at this season for some of the reasons that I'm going to give you here in just a moment. As you well know, division is prevalent in our world today. Duh! We're divided, aren't we? You know what? Jesus didn't come to bring unity. He came to bring division. And you want me to tell you why we're divided today? It's over Jesus. Ultimately, that's why we're having problems, folks. Because as he well said in Scripture, you're either for me or you're against me. You've heard that before as well. Division is prevalent in our world today, and as Christ taught, is really traced to who is for him and who is against him in its roots. Today is a good time to reflect on what Jesus brought and brings in his advent. By the way, it isn't wrong to use that word advent. His first advent is when he came as the babe in the manger in Bethlehem. His second advent just means appearance, is going to be when he comes again at the end of the tribulation period as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and puts down the forces of Satan in the battle of Armageddon, and he'll be here not as the babe in the manger that we sing about meekly, but he'll be back in another rough environment. But you know what? Nothing will touch him. And you know what the weapon he's going to use is to defeat? It's his word, a sword. By the way, folks, carry your swords. No, and by this is on tape. This is a public message. You know, don't worry so much about carrying weapons, but carry a sword, the Word of God. That's more powerful. I could preach a message on that. I have before. But Luke chapter 2, 10 through 14 records what the angel proclaimed to the shepherds of good news, great joy to all people, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Peace, goodwill toward men. While joy is the desired outcome of surrounding Christ, we also know our sin and the sin of others can bring hurt at Christmas. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. This is a rough time of the year for people, folks. if we don't have our perspectives on fruit production, and again, on pleasing Jesus Christ as the ultimate goal of everything we do. Please be aware that what we may do to others or others to us or to Christ can cause hurt. As we examine some of these factors, might we concentrate on what Jesus said in John 15:11? Since you're in John 15, let's take a look and see what that says. Because here again, Jesus wants us to be joyful. I believe that. Christians ought to be, by their very nature, people with a smile on their face. That was fake earlier. This is real. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. That's what Jesus wants for us all the time. But he wants us to operate in a way in these days that we approach that will see that come to pass with a certainty. That his joy and our joy might be full. So we're going to look this morning. Do you have a handout in your bulletins? I'm pretty sure Deb said that you did. If you don't, there's extras up here. Dean will help you get some if you need one. So think about that. I encourage you to read John 15 about bearing fruit during this time. So we're going to look at five little things that take place in this celebration of Christ's birth, in spite of its deficiencies, that we can see changed and improve. And the first thing that I want to bring today to you is spiritual contentions. And folks, I mentioned to you that we live in a world that is deeply divided, and I believe with all my heart it's over Jesus Christ. You know, I don't think anything's changed fundamentally either, but a few generations back here in America, most people went along with these things. But today, folks, that's not the case. There's a very demarcated line of where people stand today. Not only in your families, but in the workplace and in society in general. And what I mean by that, under this first column here, or this first point of spiritual contentions, is that there's a wide variety of people's thinking. And you're going to encounter people today in the open that are atheists, or claim to be. By the way, that term atheist is not accurate for anyone, because Paul clearly teaches that everyone has a God. Not all have the big G God of the Bible, but some type of a thing that we worship. It needs to be the God of the Bible, though, my friends. You're going to be dealing with unsaved people. You're going to be dealing with anti-Christian behavior. And you know what? You may be hurt by this. By the way, I'm of pretty tough skin, but when I hear people use the Lord's name, and when I hear people trashing God, I'm going to speak up. But I got to be careful how I go about it, and so do you, Christian. Because if we don't operate in a way that's proper, we're going to hurt Jesus Christ's cause. And we're going to hurt our testimony. Because Jesus doesn't operate the way the world does. He operates in a divine way that is not of this world, my friends. We need to remember that. So you know what? If you're hurt this year, you got to operate by some of these things. You got to operate in a way of love. And that's the bottom line with bearing fruit. That's got to underpin all of it. You might be attacked, but here's the thing, folks. And I'm going to say this even in family situations. I've heard this more and more. Well, we ban talking about, and again, I don't like the term religion. That is not a biblical term. Whenever the Bible uses the term religion, it doesn't use it in a positive light. What we have, or what I hope that you and I all have in this room today, is dynamic faith, that this is a way of life and a personal walk with Jesus Christ, that it's not religion. But what I was going to say is, in many homes today, religion and politics are banned. Well, what's that leave? Sports, family, the weather, that's a good topic always, Doug. Video games, you know, you can find things to talk about, but folks, Jesus, why even bother if it's not about him? See, that's what I say. But here's the thing that Jesus would have you remember in those situations this year. Don't strike back. To hurt someone, that's the intent of our message today, right? They may have hurt you. They may have hurt the Lord Jesus, but Jesus never endorsed us going back and hurting them. What did Jesus endorse all the way through? You love those people. You turn the other. You also, more than just loving them, you come to understand, and this is part of love, you say, I'm burdened by their neediness in Christ. I'm not going to ratchet this tension up to try to get a victory over them today, but I'm going to try to get a victory for Jesus. See, it's an attitude thing, how we operate. We need to almost pity them. But don't hurt them further, even if they have hurt you. Turn the other cheek. And folks, let me tell you this under this first point, under these contentions. And you know, we could talk about, by the way, I'm going to do some laughing today. I hope that's okay.
That is okay.
Not on this point, but down the line here. But you know something? The best thing you can do when you gather with family, friends, workers, whatever the case may be, you need to be in prayer in advance for those situations, that God will direct your heart and that He'll allow you to be a light that reflects the light of the world to the people that we encounter. Because, folks, these are challenges that go right down to the family and places that we meet. Spiritual contentions and the hurt that comes from them at Christmas. Next thing we move on to here, and you're welcome to say amen if you agree with any of these things or if you've dealt with some of these things, okay? But the next little point on this outline here today is relational problems. Relational problems. Well, you know, along with any group of people that gathers, and I'll even come down to this, to the marriage. Two people that are united as one flesh in Christ, there's a lot of things that happen. And when we are in a season such as this, there's a lot of things that tend to be brought up in the old memory. You agree with that? And even though my memory is becoming more faulty and I've forgiven people, I still remember some stuff that's gone on. I got to cough for a minute here. Excuse me. And you know what? When we think about that, I'm thinking about incidents that may have happened in the past. Previous hurts. I believe we can legitimately forgive people, but you know what? Satan will always rear up some of those things because our traits, other than if they're changed by Christ, tend to remain a lot like they've always been in our flesh, barring true transformation from Christ. But you know what? Words are one of the things I just want to bring here. How many of you have been hurt by words? And I'm going to keep my hand up. You don't need to acknowledge this, but how many times have you hurt someone with words? Allow the Spirit to control your heart. Not just at this season, but at all times. These are really things that fit all times, but they come very much aware in this time that we live in. Unreconciled, not only past words, but past deeds that have taken place. Folks, this is a time of year when jealousy rears its ugly head. Don't you contribute to that. You know, there's families and situations that are deeply divided over jealousy. You agree with that? Perceived unfair things that have taken place or unfair, and I've got here on my list favoritisms. Think that through real carefully too this year. Let's show primarily glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's not get into the favoritism thing, but let's love everyone like Christ loves us. You know, that's so important. But here's a few of these things. Are there ever tensions in any families that you've ever known of? Tensions are very prevalent at this time of the year. In fact, I'm going to say it's one of the most prevalent things of the season to have a good old fight of some kind in a family. Come on, let's loosen up a little bit. Is that true? Sure. I'll illustrate this a little bit as we go along, but tensions over issues. Here's a good one. Fighting with the in-laws. Now, I told you I was going to laugh and you're going to think badly of me today, but that's okay. I don't endorse this song, but yesterday, as Kim and I were working in the house, I said, I got to hear the 12 things of Christmas that are such a pain to me. facing my in-laws. Isn't that a problem, folks? It's a big problem. Jason. That's the whole point. And Jason, you're being very diplomatic this morning because, Sandra, you have to tell your mom. Yeah. Go ahead and tell her in Spanish. Yeah. Listen, folks, that's real stuff. You know what? This is a good time of the year to put those things to rest. Once and for all. And say, you know what? We've had problems, but no more. We're going to reconcile these things once and for all. We're going to please Jesus this year, and we're going to let that stuff go. Well, that's just one thing. Fighting in families. You know, I think from childhood there's divisions in families. I'm not going to give specific things here this morning on all these things. But I think there's things that carry on from sibling rivalries and things like that that go right on up through our lives. And they still are there. There's attitudes and there's anger. And then there's this one, the outcast versus the in crowd. Now I'll say this, I've always kind of been on the outcast side of things. I'll give you an illustration. I got to be careful, but not too careful. Because this is all out on the airwaves here. But you know something that I always thought was interesting with our... Kim and I did a few things right, by the way, with our kids. But at this time of the year, like when we went to Grandma's, Grandma Brown's in particular, and she'd ask, what would you like for a gift or gifts? And we always told our kids what, Kim? Don't say anything. Just say whatever you do is good and accept that. But now I'm going to come at you with something because there were other people in the family that gave Grandma a list. And now you tell me what happened when we exchanged gifts. Tell me. Everything that was on the list is what they got. And we got the same thing. Well, not our kids. But think about that. How does that make you feel? It produces tension. That's what I'm getting at here. But see, there are outcasts versus in crowds when we gather. That's always been my goal here at Fruitland, that we are not in or out people, we're people. United for the cause of Christ. And I've told you that before, I love all of you. Sometimes I could give some of you a shaking. And you probably the same, but I do. And no, we've had a good time here at Fruitland all these years. Thank God for that. You know, really, we have. I thank Him for that. But favoritism and all these things that come into play in that, they're tough things for people to get over in this time of the year when we ought to be what? Glorifying the Lord, not hurting Him, and not hurting one another. So here's what I have to say about that. And by the way, Christmases can really be a strain on marriage. And I'll get into that a little bit more here down a couple of points. But here's the thing. Prepare yourself ahead on both sides of these problems. Because, you know, the problems aren't always on other people's plate. They're on yours too. Right? If those kind of things go on, you don't have to get angry about it. What can you do? Well, you can pray about it. But you can just say, thank you, Lord. And I'm not going to let this what? Ruin, you know, I'm not going to give Satan a victory about this kind of stuff that goes on. Prepare yourself ahead on both sides of these problems. And here's the thing, folks, that we take home from this that Jesus teaches. We don't add fuel to the fire and we trust God to see you through the rough spots. Because, folks, relational problems are big things, not only at this time of the year, but at all times of the year. Hopefully this year, 2020, things can change. All right, third point. We've got to move on here. This is a tough thing about this season, especially because it is a very emotional time. I don't normally share these kind of things, but yesterday Kim had some music playing and I saw her begin to cry. Yeah. And I might too, see, but I know what Kim's thinking about, and you are too this year. This has been a rough year, hasn't it? A lot of things have happened. You know, you may be in a situation now where you're a person who is approaching our destiny with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Some of you here have this year. This is the first year. That's a mighty rough thing, folks. What I have here are the memories, the things like aging and grief and illness and adversity. Those are tough things at this time of the year. We need to be sensitive to others and we need to be compassionate. But also, my friends, let me just say this. If we're one of those persons that is in grief this year, and someone makes a mistake in how they act or what they say, because let's face it, folks, it's hard to always have everything right, isn't it? And one little word might come out that would really hurt someone badly, but forgive them in advance if you're the one that's been hurt, because I'll tell you what, it may not be something that they meant that we take at this time of the year with these situations very personally. The fact of the matter is, though, we need to be compassionate about that also. If you're struggling with people, and when they sometimes innocently but not intentionally cause us hurt. But be aware at this season especially of memories. And like I said, as we age and see more things done, we think back. But folks, let me just say this. Jesus wants us to think forward. He wants us to think forward. The past is always relevant, but the future is more important in Christ. Never forget that. Fourth little point here today that'll help us this year, I believe, are high expectations. How many of you have high ideals about this season? Okay. Well, you didn't necessarily have to show, but yeah, it is a great season. It can be, yeah. But what are some of the things that interrupt our high expectations and cause us to have discontent? Well, I'm going to give you a few of them here today. And maybe for some of you younger families and different ones that are struggling in these areas, this will hit a little bit of a base as you consider fruit production this year again. Here's one of them here. 6 bases to cover in 4 hours. Kim and I used to go through things like that. We had our gift exchange at home early in the morning with the kids. We went into Grandma, and in the old days, into Grandma and Grandpa Simmons's, and then into Grandma Wanda and Grandpa Ron's, then at Grandma Charlotte's and Grandpa Edward's, and then the day was over by dark. Now you tell me, when you have 2-year-old kids running around, Patsy, maybe that wasn't that way in your house, what happens about 4 o'clock in the afternoon? I've wanted to throw a tantrum myself. Enough's enough. But you know something? I'll tell you something, and this is going out public again. I'll tell you, I was hurt a lot of times in Kim. We learned something, though, from all this, folks, and what we learned is priorities. You have to prioritize what you do under the Lord and under your family first, okay? And not that you don't put the rest of the family in a high priority, but you have to take precaution for some of those things. But here's something that Kim and I were heard about, and this is going out over the airwaves. We had all those bases to cover, and this is with my family. They knew we had all those bases to cover, and lunch was called for at noon on Christmas Day down at my mom's. Now, sometimes Kim and I would be 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes late. Tell me what happened. No, we got something. We got the cold potatoes because they went ahead and had it. They had lunch. They weren't going to wait for us. Now, that may be a trite thing when I bring that up to you this morning, but that's a hurtful thing. And here's the thing, folks. We can work out better options than going through that tension and that stress to try to meet expectations, high expectations. You get what I'm saying here? Maybe you don't agree with me. That's okay. But we found, Kim and I have found in our, we tell our kids, it's not so important the day we gather, it's important that we are able to gather on a day. High expectations cause hurt. So, have any of you ever heard this? Don't disappoint me. Please don't disappoint me this year. It's out there, folks. Well, you know, other things happen too sometimes when we have plans, like kids getting sick or adults. Snowstorms. I remember one year, the winter of 79, we didn't celebrate and exchange gifts till what was that, Kim, in February. Couldn't get down to my folks. I mean, the only way you get down there is on a tractor. You don't even believe this. That winter, Iced Avenue was full to the banks. And it continued to blow every week and stayed like that. Well, one of the other things, you know, about high expectations, 10-course meals with China and Crystal. Folks, I want to tell you, things get broken. Oh, that was my great aunt. Then don't use it. No, we shouldn't go around trying to damage people's stuff, but you know what? Pick your place. They do make paper plates. If that's going to be an issue that's going to destroy the expectations of that day and hinder the cause of Christ, don't throw the dishes. I'm thinking of Green Acres and Lisa. She didn't do dishes. She threw them out the window. Yeah. But make a change. Don't let that rule the day. And then the other one here I've got down. Some of you have heard this before, but, you know, when you have a gift exchange with 50 people, and first of all, after you've had lunch, then you have to wash the precious plates and china. So you don't get started with the exchange till mid-afternoon. And then this idea, well, let's open these one at a time so everyone can enjoy. So here's your four kids, in our case, four little kids. That doesn't work, folks, like we said. And of course, you know, it got ruined every year. This is down with the folks because at 4 o'clock it was time for what? You got to do chores. Cows got to be milked. Cattle and hogs got to be fed. High expectations, and of course the whole thing fell apart. Folks, realize this year you've got the corona thing. Travel's disrupted. There's a lot of variables that come in this year. But I encourage you to look at all sides on these things and how they bring glory to God. And don't hurt Jesus, but also don't hurt others. And of course, again, avoid actions that promote hurt. And one of those things is favoritism. Think about those things and how you operate. And I've got written here in my notes, the main thing about all this stuff is, Christians, chill out a little bit about the expectations and make sure Christ is held high during this time. Don't show partiality, either too much or too little, but engage people for Christ and love them, no matter where they are or who they are. Then the last one, and I don't know if Kim and I talked about this before, that, you know, things are different today. Let's face it, credit cards. Kim and I have never really got into those, but, you know, in the past, there was a lot of pressure on people financially at this season of the year, right? Because of these expectations. Going back to my song that I pointed out earlier, 5 months of bills facing my in-laws. I don't know what people do about that, but you know what? Well, the whole thing that sums this up in a minute comes to it. Keep it simple. It's the heart, not the materialism, see, that counts here. But spending or lack of, you know, there's a lot of people this time of year, and of course, like I said, the credit card thing has changed that a lot, but there used to be people didn't have money. And people what? They had a lot of expectations on them, so they'd find, you know, have to do things, borrow money or whatever to buy gifts. in the end, it just caused more what? More hurt. And what I've got here is, you know, if that's a case where we find ourselves, you don't have to buy everything. I take Kim can cut a little stick out of the ditch and make it into a beautiful ornament. Have you ever thought about making something from your heart for someone? You don't have to. And you know what? If you don't have it, there's nothing wrong with just saying, hey, I love you. You know, it's the heart. On the other side of the coin, you know, if you're going to buy a big bunch of stuff and everything, remember about fairness, like I said earlier, because it's a conduit for hurt. It really is. Examine our lives about that. Be biblically directed in what we do and also how you react. And let me just say this as well. Be thankful. Now, I could get in trouble on the other side of the fence here today, no names mentioned. But I've known family people that open a gift, and you can just see it in their face. Do you have the return tags? You know, I've gotten in a little trouble in the past. Autumn hasn't chastised me yet, but Patsy and Zelpha bought my office downstairs. And you know, when I'm gone, it'll be a lot to clean out. But you know why I've got stuff hanging on the walls and all over the place? And it is hard, isn't it, Zelpha, the dusting? Because people gave me those gifts. A man knitted me pot holders. I still got them on the... Because it meant something to me. It's not trite to me. And you know, it is the thoughts of the heart that really matter. Be thankful. It's no secret why the day after what we call Christmas is one of the biggest shopping days, because people are there to return things. But you know what? I understand if it doesn't fit. But if someone gave that from the heart, don't take it back because it didn't meet your needs. Selfish people. Self-centered people. Now that gets me. Lord, forgive my... But be careful about that kind of thing. And here's the last point. Be thankful and be balanced in what you do for the Lord. But here's the thing that's on the bottom of your sheet. Remember this at all times. Simplicity versus complexity. Simplicity versus complexity. Because complexity feeds all this stuff here, the high expectations and everything, centered around Christ's frivolity. Jesus gave to us of himself hilariously. Frivolous. God in the flesh came for us. That's frivolous. We can't even comprehend it in our narrow human minds. We say, why? We'll hear that answer next week in a message. Why would he do that? Well, he did it, folks, because he loved us. This is a frivolous occasion that celebrates the love of God in Christ Jesus. How dare we make it complex? How dare we don't keep it centered on Jesus Christ? Simplicity versus complexity, centered around Christ's frivolity. Now, I haven't preached a perfect message this morning. There is no such thing, but you get the idea, right? Amen? Is any of this stuff important? You better know it is. And you better know this too, that I'm seeing this, and as I prepared this message, I know I need to make adjustments. Kim say, yeah, you sure do, John. But it's true! I know what you do, Kim? I've never... No. We do need to change, folks. This season is about fruit production. John 15. I'll be asking you. Denny asked me the questions this morning when he came... By the way, I thank that he came in and prayed with. Thank you, Lonnie, that you prayed with me this morning for the service. But I'm going to be asking you, how is your fruit production this season? I hope it's been a blessed one. Thank you for your good attention. May the whole season be centered around love and forgiveness, which were perfectly displayed in the Son of God, the babe in the manger of Bethlehem. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Folks, Put this on your refrigerator or your mirror every day, all days. Kim and I always use this in marriage counseling. We don't have it on ours, but Kim, I want you to put it on there if you can find some tape. And it's Ephesians 4:32, my mom's favorite verse, Charlotte Brown. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me and you. There's a Christmas verse, folks. It's a fruit-building verse, and it'll make the gatherings and the things that take place this year, it will make them different. And it can set a new precedence in the lives of people. Amen. 103. Well, you have it on the screen. Remember this as we sing this today. Thou didst leave thy throne. Jesus, out of love for us, abandoned the comforts of heaven, the beauty of heaven, the perfection of heaven, to come as that babe in a manger for us. Folks, how might that guide us to operate properly? Now, I don't know the hearts here today, but God does. And the fact of the matter is, you know what? There's time yet to change. It doesn't mean you have to come forward, although that's always something that we may need to do. We may need to run to God this morning. We may need to do it publicly, because you know what? Publicly cements it. It says, I took account of where I'm at. But I believe this with all my heart, that there's probably a lot of introspection. There may be need to be some repentance, confession, and forgiveness on all sides of this, starting with the Lord Jesus today. He came in the lowest of straits as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for us. How dare we not focus on Him this season and put Him first? He richly deserves it. Let's sing this today. You act if it's needed in your life and mine today. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's throne was there found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. May that guide us in the days to come. Amen. Let's pray. Father, dismiss us with your blessing this day. Help us to examine our lives, Lord, about fruit production. And may this season be a start, and maybe a new start for many of us, as we change our focus, Lord, from the things around us, from our own position in it, to the position that we have in you and your goodness that was displayed now 2,000 plus years ago when you came as a babe in the manger. Father, I pray you'll work in the hearts, including mine today. And I ask, Lord, again, that you dismiss us until we meet again, whether it be here, there, or in the air. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.